This segment, I'm going to talk about dehydration, a common result of heat stress, but not always just that. It can also be caused as a result of cholera, malaria, dysentery, many other types of illnesses that cause you to lose fluids as a result of both sweating and high fever, and also that of, shall we say, rapid evacuation of fluids from your body. We're going to say it that way. Dehydration is the key to pretty much all of the highest threats that come from heat. I already spoke in a previous segment in Beat the Heat about the problems that come, obviously, from exposure to UV sunlight and the IR and all that. So maybe at some point I'll get into that in another segment. But I want to focus on the one that you have a lot of control over and that you need to be aware of what to do before you get to that point so that you don't get in trouble. Because by the time you have experienced a result of dehydration, it may be too late for you to fix it yourself and you may need medical help. We don't ever want you getting into that position. So, first let me start by defining it. The technical definition in physiology of dehydration is a deficit of total body water with an accompanying disruption of metabolic processes. Dehydration can cause hypernatremia, which is high levels of sodium ions in the blood and is distinct from hypovolemia, which is a loss of blood volume. Both, by the way, can happen as a result of dehydration, but one is more threatening than the other because hypovolemia will cause loss of blood volume, particularly plasma. I'm not going to get into that right now. So, dehydration occurs when free water loss exceeds free water intake, usually due to exercise, sometimes disease, and is also commonly linked to high temperatures in the environment. Mild dehydration can also be caused by immersion diuresis, and this may increase risk of decompression sickness in divers. So if you're diving in the heat, if you go, say, to the Caribbean and you go on vacation and you decide to go diving, be very careful about that to make sure that you're very well hydrated in the beginning, because if it causes you to become mildly dehydrated and you're already dehydrated, that's a problem. Most people can tolerate a 3-4% decrease in total body water without difficulty or adverse health effects. At 5-8%, it causes fatigue and dizziness. Loss of over 10% of total body water can cause physical and mental deterioration, accompanied by severe thirst, and death occurs at a loss of between 15-25%, depending upon the person. You never, ever want to get there. So as I alluded to before, you don't only have just the heat itself that is impacting your ability to not become dehydrated, and more importantly, to maintaining the balance of electrolytes in your body so that you can function under stress and well. All these things come together. So these imbalances of electrolytes, potassium, sodium, all these things matter. So one of the big things that you run into is that if you take in a lot of processed foods while you are encountering high heat situations, the processed foods a lot of times have significantly increased amounts of sodium. Processed foods that you get at restaurants, at fast food joints, all these things are massively laden with high amounts of sodium. Those high amounts of sodium intaking at the same time that you are sweating heavily, losing water in your water balance in your body, causes a sodium water imbalance in your body, then causing an electrolyte imbalance, because electrolytes are more than just sodium. That sodium water balance in your body, then as the amount of your volume of total body water decreases, increases the percentage rates without changing the amount of potassium, magnesium that you have in your body. It increases the percentage in your body, causing an overexcited level of that particular electrolyte, and then causes a whole series of new problems. So too much water is a problem. Too little water is a problem. It's a balance. And that's the part that most people don't seem to understand. They want to lower their blood pressure. Then they lower their blood pressure so much that their kidneys and their heart and all shut down because they don't have enough pressure pumping their blood through their body. Their heart rate drops and they have a stroke from an ischemic stroke. Don't get to this place. Understand, you know, that old saying that is so commonly said that nobody even pays attention to it anymore. It really has lost its meaning. Is everything in moderation? What does that mean? That means you don't want too high, you don't want too low. This is work. This is why people died at 35 before. They had no idea. They didn't even know that any of these things mattered or existed or anything they could do to change it. They didn't know what had high sodium or low sodium. They didn't know the impact. They didn't know what an electrolyte was. Science and medical technology was draconian. One day in 100 years, our version will probably be considered draconian, but at least we've come a far way from where they would use leeches to solve every problem and basically kill you like they did with people like George Washington. So one of the things that you need to be aware of is that if you're already sweating and you're losing sodium with that as you do. If you ever looked at your shirt, if you had a dark shirt on and you sweat in the heat and you get really wet on your shirt from the sweat, when it starts to dry, the salt solidifies on your shirt and you'll have rings, white rings of salt there. That is the salt that you have lost from your body. So your sodium level has gone down. And that causes a problem. That brings you into a really serious problem. And you can become dehydrated and have these shutdowns. So what do you do about that? Well, you stay ahead of the game. So yes, you can drink too much water, but you don't want to drink too little water. You've heard the old tried and true saying, 8 glasses a day. What the heck does 8 glasses a day mean? You put on 8 glasses and that's good? No. Do you know how much is in the 8 glasses a day? What the heck does that mean? This is a stupid thing that people do. Let's talk facts, not quippy sayings. Well, 8 glasses a day has always been the standard recommendation. It's not necessary for everyone. There are factors involved. If you're eating highly processed foods, you probably need 20 glasses a day. And the problem is your body can't intake that much water all at one time. So you have to balance it with total diet. A good rule of thumb is to drink enough so that you have to urinate at least every 3 to 4 hours. For most people, that's around 8 to 10 8-ounce glasses of water. Did you follow that? 8 to 10 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Maybe you don't want to drink water. But remember, anything that you add into the water may decrease the ability for your body to accept and make use of the water that you are intaking. Tea, for example, if you are drinking tea, some, even the powdered mixes and all, are very, very high in tannic acid. And other things that are in that tea, we'll use with the air quotes, that cause it to be a diuretic. It causes you to pee it out, which means you're not maintaining that water in your body. It's not converting into body water mass, your body water mass, so it's leaving as soon as it comes in. That's of no use. Coffee may be liquacious, but it is a diuretic. Therefore, even if you are drinking it as cold ice coffee, you're likely going to pee out more than just the liquid that you took in. Not helpful. So it's really, really critical that you remember that you have to intake water constantly. So 2 to 3 cups of water every hour. Some people say double that, but at least it's a start. Overhydration is very rare. You can't really overhydrate very easily, but you can do that. So remember, you want to intake in many ways. Here are some examples of how you can take in water by foods that are water dense. Coconut water, celery, watermelon, cucumber, kiwi, bell peppers, citrus fruit, carrots, cultured dairy like kefir, yogurt, and pineapple. Another thing to consider is whether you're consuming enough calcium. With or without eating dairy products, you need the calcium. It's another one of those primary important things that you need in your body for everything to work right. Foods like organic probiotic yogurt, cultured cheeses, and raw milk provide very high levels of electrolyte in addition to important other nutrients. So these things, you can get them from leafy green vegetables. You can get them from veggies and beans and legumes. You have to be careful. Some of those require more water in order to take those nutrients out. Sweet potatoes are a great source for that. If you go short on these different electrolytes, you can end up with digestion problems, changes in heartbeat. You can end up with muscle spasms. Very low potassium levels also cause cramps and constipation. You get digestive issues when you have problems and low levels of electrolytes. As a matter of fact, you can end up with diarrhea, constipation, cramping, hemorrhoids, nausea sometimes caused by very low sodium levels called hyponatremia. The same condition can be followed by headaches, disorientation, and respiratory problems. By the way, if you start getting migraines, the likelihood is that that's because your body has experienced dehydration. You get bone pains, confusion and dizziness, irritability. All these things are signs of dehydration setting in, low sodium or high sodium rates as a result of low total body water volume. All these things play together, as you can see. So it's not as simple as saying, I'm going to have a Gatorade, or I'm going to have the other electrolyte drinks. They are not that good for you. I still believe that my internal bleeds were triggered as a result of onset dehydration that was worsened by the high levels of sodium that I took in by drinking Gatorade. It is a problem. Be aware of how your body works so that you can protect yourself. Don't leave it to someone else, because by the time they get involved, it's already too late. You've already damaged yourself. Do you know that certain medications, including cancer treatment drugs, heart disease drugs, hormonal disorder drugs, they all will cause electrolyte imbalances? Antibiotics, over-the-counter diuretics, or medications like lisinopril, hydrochlorothiazide, common high blood pressure medicines, their general main purpose is that they are diuretics. In the old days, our grandparents used to call them water pills because it made you pee your brains out. I used to jokingly call them my I'm pregnant pills to make me feel guilty for when my ex-wife was pregnant. Kidney disease and damage causes electrolyte imbalances. Alcohol intake massively damages your electrolyte balances and causes dehydration. Malabsorption due to intestinal or digestive problems that you may or may not know you even suffer from. It is critical that you look at your levels. If you go for an annual checkup with your doctor for a physical, talk to them about getting a full blood workup so you can see what your levels are, your calcium, your chloride, your potassium, your magnesium, your sodium. You may be shocked to find out what your levels are in your blood count. It's important. I also, by the way, highly recommend when they do that, you get your doctor to do a test, which you may not know is completely separate to be requested, is to find out what your blood type is. You may never want to get a transfusion, but knowing what your blood type is can be very useful in many, many different situations. So help yourself by acting ahead. Do things that will help you to maintain yourself. Remember, one cup of water, one cup as in measuring, not one you're holding the cup in your hand, every 15 to 20 minutes. Workers working in heat or under high stress should be reminded to drink water frequently before becoming thirsty in order to maintain good hydration. If you are thirsty, you are already becoming dehydrated. In the old days, they used to give people salt tablets because they were concerned about them losing too much sodium. You absolutely should never take salt tablets. More importantly, nowadays you have to watch out because all these processed foods, almost everything you buy, even a candy bar, has sodium in it, salt that they've added because they have basically trained the palates of Americans and Westerners to live for the taste of sodium. The problem is sodium is overwhelming in most people's diets when they eat highly processed foods, and it increases the likelihood for high blood pressure and a whole plethora of other problems that come. If you're going to eat on the trail or on the run, using things like Clif Bars and other protein bars, you must be aware of the effect. High protein diets will cause your body to utilize and throw off more water than low protein diets. And the more dense the protein is, the more threatening it is to you in dehydration issues and other. Remember, ultra high levels of protein taken in at one time, your body can't process quickly enough without a lot of water. That means you have to drink at least 8 to 12 glasses of 8-ounce glasses of water each day just to handle the protein that you're bringing in to throw it off. That doesn't include the threat that you're already going to have from high heat, high stress, high strain, strenuous work in outside conditions, and all the other things involved in both physical labor, laborious activities that you normally may not be used to. If you're out of shape, it's even a higher threat. All these things play together again. So if you're going to use trail bars or trail mix, remember, if it's high in protein, it's going to dehydrate you. Find a balance. Some of these bars are 30 grams of protein. The average hamburger is only 23 grams of protein in some cases. So you've got to look at how these things all play together and a balance. And it takes time. It takes time to get used to making these calculations wisely. But be aware, if you're going to carry bars with you for food, you need protein intake. You need that to fuel your body. But you also need to remember that if you're low on water or if you're in a position where you're under high stress, you have to balance that with more water, more clear liquid intake, readily available to become total body water mass, and lower amounts of protein. Once you stop burning, once you stop sweating your water off, and you become in a position where you can intake and hydrate, then intaking protein with it in order to feed and fuel your body is fine. It's a balance again. So in the next segment, I'm going to deal with what it takes to deal with dehydration, bringing your electrolytes back into balance, bringing your body back into a total balance with a sodium water balance, and help your body to recover from even limited, moderate, or extreme levels of dehydration. So that's next.